Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, and we're going to talk this week about the treasure that we carry in earthen vessels. It's so good to be able to take up the Word of God that helps us see and understand what we've been given in Christ and in the gift of the Holy Spirit. Of course, the great treasure that we bear is the life of God. Those who are baptized into Christ, the great treasure is the gift of the Holy Spirit, the promise. As St. Peter preached so powerfully on the day of Pentecost, after the Holy Spirit was poured out, Peter goes forward from the upper room under the power and anointing of the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, proclaiming in power, and people are saying, wow, what's happened to these guys? They're drunk. And Peter says, we're not drunk. It's 9 o'clock in the morning. What we know is that Jesus' words, Peter said, are being fulfilled in the words of the prophets. In the last day, God will pour out his Spirit on all flesh. And Peter goes on to say in his amazing homily, you might say, is that preaching on that day, under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, fearlessly, courageously, he's saying, what you're seeing is that the promise of the Holy Spirit that's been talked about by the prophets, and we've anticipated our people, the Jewish people had anticipated, not fully knowing, not fully understanding. But Peter said, the reason we're experiencing what we're experiencing is that Jesus Christ is at the right hand of God the Father in heaven, that Jesus is Lord and Christ, that he's been raised to glory, and he's taken his seat at the right hand of the Father, and the Father has given over to him the promised Holy Spirit, and he's poured out the promise. And this is what you now see and hear, the Holy Spirit that indwelt the very Son of God, who took on human flesh to bring us together with the life of God in a way that could never be done in any way by anybody else other than the Lord. And he enters into heavenly glory and unites human flesh to the life of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in a way that's almost impossible to describe its glory and its magnificence and its wonder. And he did it so that we could become partakers in it, as St. Peter would say, partakers of this divine nature. We, fallen, sinful, broken, compromising, weak clay vessels. He's come to lift us up with him. We talked about yesterday and began, if you didn't have a chance to tune into the program, was talking about the Eucharist as the place of the celebration of the Eucharist, is this the place, this extraordinary gift. I talked yesterday and today about that we carry a great treasure in these earthen vessels, quoting St. Paul from 2 Corinthians, and we'll talk about it later in the program today, that we've been given a treasure. And the fundamental treasure is the gift of the Holy Spirit, which brought us from death to life in baptism, and we became temples of the living God. And the most important thing in you and in me, in your life and my life, is the presence of God. Not just out there watching us, but he's come to dwell in us. He's come to make his home in us. He's come to transform and change us. And by his power, we become children of God. No longer aliens, no longer strangers, no longer enemies, no longer distant from God, but literally brought into the life of the family. And it's a new family that Jesus is siring in the Holy Spirit called the church, made up of imperfect people. And so he gives this treasure of his life to us. And then he gives us all kinds of other treasures in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the fundamental gift that opens up, you might say, the whole storehouse, or the whole treasury, maybe is the way to say it. The many gifts that were given by the Holy Spirit. Of course, we talked about the Eucharist yesterday, talking about the sacraments period, the seven sacraments, these conduits of amazing grace, these sources of particular blessing in the institution of the church that he established, that he's established to feed us, to strengthen us, to bring us into full life in him. And I was thinking, just did a talk recently on YouTube on the charisms, the spiritual gifts, and it made me think about the many gifts that we've been given. And I was thinking first the Isaiah gifts of confirmation that are talked about, that we're strengthened. We're actually given these gifts in baptism, but they're strengthened and taken to new heights, you know, like wisdom, knowledge, counsel, fortitude, piety, and my favorite of all, fear of the Lord. It says in Isaiah that his delight was in the fear of the Lord, which is why I wrote the booklet that we're giving away, and you can get it at Renewal Ministries. Just call the number here. Fear God and give him glory. It's about that precious, precious gift that Jesus himself had, believe it or not. But the book will explain it to you a little bit. But these precious gifts that are given to us for our sake, to conform us and to help us be more docile to the promptings and the leadings of the Holy Spirit so that we can become more like Jesus. Really, that's what it's about. And we've been given these gifts. And it's not just, here's an interesting point. Pope Paul VI said at one point that many of the gifts were given from the Lord lie dormant in the lives of many of the baptized. Dormant, asleep. And they need to be awakened, which this is what the outpouring of the Spirit in this last 100 years and 50 years in the Catholic Church in a unique way, a movement and the charismatic dimension, as St. John Paul talked about it. Pope Francis calls it a current of grace in and for the church, that at the heart of this is a grace of revelation about the glory and majesty of Jesus. It's opening people's hearts to the desire, birthing in people a desire to want the whole storehouse of what the Lord is giving, to come more alive in the gifts we've been given in confirmation, these gifts of the Spirit. And then the beautiful fruits of the Spirit talked about in Galatians, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, that as we walk with the Lord, as we continue in an ever deeper way with the help of the Holy Spirit, by repenting, by being fed by the sacraments, being fed by God's word, being involved in the mission and the vocations that we have, and we're leaning on Jesus ever more and abiding in him like he called us to. Maybe the central thing, what does Jesus want you to do? Well, he wants you to abide in his love. Why? So that you can fulfill the first and second commandments, so he can give you the power to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. He can heal your soul. He can renew your mind. He can make you whole. He can give you the right vision for your life so you can see. And what's really significant, I think, and I've been thinking quite a bit about, is the proper evaluation of what really matters. Friends, as God gets pushed further and further from the horizon, as Pope Benedict XVI described it, we start to devalue what's valuable in the kingdom. And we overvalue the things of the world, possessions, money, power, fame, sex, you name it. As Jesus shrinks in the culture, so to speak, I mean, he can't be shrunk. Is that the right way to say it? He himself will never shrink. He's reigning in glory, and he will reign in glory for all eternity with the Father in the power of the Holy Spirit. But those who are united to him can drift away from him and compromise to be seduced by the world and start to give our time, our attention, and really our heart to things of this world that we put on the throne in the center of our lives because it's really what we dream about, think about, pursue, and try to draw life from. And those things are called idols, and they always leave us dry. Boy, for a time, they might make you feel like you're on top of the world. It might feel like, wow, this is great. It feels good. But it's something that's lower than you are yourself, that you're made in God's image and likeness. And when we bend the knee to idols, we bend them to creatures lower than us or things lower than us or things that are offensive to God in different ways. And it will never satisfy the human heart. And we'll try to double down on it, triple down on it to try to get satisfaction out of it, identity, power, influence, whatever it might be, what the enemy has used to seduce and trap us and lead us into that. But the Lord has given us gifts that we hardly ever think about. I mean, these gifts of the Spirit, of wisdom and understanding and fear of the Lord, these are so precious. Things like faith, hope, and love. The theological virtues are so, so precious. Of course, the greatest of these is love. That faith which allows us, friends, to believe and to see Jesus. To believe that everything he said and did is true. And that he indeed did come from the Father from all eternity. He did take on human flesh. He did bring down the dominion of darkness, and he destroyed the principalities and powers that are set against us, the world, the flesh, and the devil. He really did it. And he became the new Adam, giving to the Father the love, the obedience, the surrender, the love of neighbor, the right understanding of self and accepting himself in God the Father and who God made him to be and rejoicing in it and living in it And yes, he rose from the dead. He passed from death to life, and he began existence beyond death for the human race. He is the future of the human race. And faith is that gift that says, yes, I believe. I believe this is true. And when that light goes on, that is the game changer. And then we say, yes, I believe. And then I say, with this life you've given me, I entrust everything to him. I receive his saving love. I receive his invitation to abide in him and to receive the love that he and the Father are giving to me. I say yes to it. And I entrust myself to him, and I bank my life on what he says matters, and I put my trust in his promises. Such a precious gift. And hope, of course, is the confident expectation of what I see in Jesus. I'm confident. I'm confident he's given it to me. Confident he's leading me someplace. I'm confident he's helping me grow each day. Even though I take sometimes two steps backwards, he's doing it in me. And the greatest thing I could ever imagine or ever want, and the thing I'm actually made for, is happening. And the things that are secondary no longer define me. I'm tempted at times to do it. Sometimes I can discourage because I don't have some of those secondary things or whatever. But that's just the old man. You got to keep taking off the old, as Paul says, and putting on the new. And so here's St. Paul, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels to show that the transcendent power belongs to God and not to us. The transcendent power that has given us faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not boastful, right? The love of Jesus, not just the generic love, because people are co-opting that word all the time and twisting it and using it. The only definition of love that matters is Jesus, his definition. God is love. And Jesus reveals the Father and reveals their relationship. And he demonstrates it on the cross, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. He says, we are afflicted in every way, but we're not crushed. We're perplexed, but we don't despair. And he talks about the challenges that he has to face, but we don't give up. For while we live, we're always being given up to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life is in you. So he's saying, yes, there's trials, there's disappointments, injustices, all kinds of things that happen in this world. But he said, we basically offer it up. We know that Christ is in us, and he's going to take it all up, and he's going to use it to transform us and to make us more conformed to him, even more fully, because of the work, this great treasure, the Spirit. And of course, later in that same chapter, he says, so we don't lose heart, though our outer man is wasting away and our inner man is being renewed every day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. Friends, this is the vision you need now. This is what hope looks like. This is faith. This is trusting in God. This is the vision of where we're going. And this is being secure in the love of God, no matter what the circumstances and the trials and the difficulties that we face. This is your destiny, and this is my destiny. And yes, who are we? We are earthen vessels. We're crackpots. We have clay feet. We're weak and broken people who he loves totally, and he's given us a kingdom. Blessed be God. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much-needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.